Hey everyone, and thank you for joining us at IED Sports. Today we're talking about winners and losers from the 2021 NFL Draft. We're breaking this up into segments. We're here with Rich, we're here with Steve, and we are talking about the 2021 NFL Draft. A lot to digest, and we're only going to touch the tip of the iceberg today during today's show. However, what we're going to talk about is some teams who are just right off the top of your head, initial teams who were became more valuable to fantasy. Then we're going to talk about some players, some established veterans, and some rookies who had the most to gain or the most to lose during the draft day. We're going to see where those players come out. So why don't we just jump right into it? Steve, you have a team who became more valuable for fantasy this year.
I mean, it has to be the Bears. It has to be because when Nagy first got there, his first job was to bring up Trubisky. And, you know, the first year worked out. The rest of the time it didn't. So then they made a trade for Nick Foles. Nick Foles was a big flop, and so they had to go back to Trubisky, and they surprisingly made the playoffs. But then you know, this offseason, just like the Panthers, we talk about how aggressive the Panthers were in getting a new quarterback. They were all in, the Bears, on trying to get Russell Wilson. And you know, but then
that was never going to happen. There was never a scenario in which he's
trying. And so then they get Andy Dalton, and everyone's like up in arms that, oh, they're going to get Andy Dalton. But you know, they offered the Seahawks the barn, and they didn't want the herd. So you know, what else can you do? So then you know, it's funny. We talked about all these other teams trading up, and nobody talked about the Bears trading up. And they trade up and they get Justin Fields, and I'm going to talk more about this when we talk about our winners. But like, yeah, the Bears,
they great landing spot, should be a starter. My question is going to be, is he the day one starter? Rich, Justin Fields, he was not necessarily one of those guys who we thought necessarily would be day one ready. I liked him better than Mac Jones. How do you feel, Justin Fields? Is he going to be the day one starter week one for the Bears?
I mean, if you're trading up from 20 to 11, you're giving up a first-round pick, you got to say he's got a good shot. I think, actually, if Justin Fields is coming out next year's class, I think he's the overall number one quarterback coming out. Just talking some Bears here, I do think the Bears receivers definitely got an upgrade with Fields or Andy Dalton. Obviously, they're going to be better than what Trubisky was the last couple years there.
Spoiler alert for later.
Allen Robinson, I'm actually an Allen Robinson owner in one of my Dynasty leagues. I'm very happy about this move to get an upgrade here at the quarterback position. I think Fields has a chance to start day one, but I think they're still going to be a bottom 10 team in the league. I think A-Rob, Darnell Mooney, Cole Kmet, they're going to get some upside here compared to Dalton. The Fields can live up to his potential. And it was just a big quarter. It was just a tough quarterback draft for him. I think Fields could have been the number one pick had he come out next year.
I couldn't agree more. Now let's talk about another team that had a quarterback change. That's gonna be Zach Wilson and the New York Jets, who I think had a great offensive draft. Zach Wilson, they got guard Elijah Vera Tucker and Elijah Moore, the wide receiver from Old Miss. Their running back room was also a mess last year. We're gonna talk a little bit about that later, but they have LaMichael Perine, Ty Johnson, Tevin Coleman, now Michael Carter, who joined in the fourth round. So that's another weapon for the Jets. It just seems like they are dead set on finding out earlier who Zach Wilson is, and they're giving him weapons, they're giving him protection. Maybe not the best team, but for fantasy, if this Jets defense is bad and this Jets team is bad, you're going to find some values down the draft board. Just because it's the Jets doesn't mean you need to be afraid of them every year. I think Jets are a team that for sure moved up and improved for fantasy.
Yeah. I mean, I love Robert Saleh. The guy just, you know,
no breaks. That's his thing.
Yeah. And you know, with a lot of the picks that he made, I really like the Elijah Moore pick in the second round. I do think that means that Jameson Crowder could be out the door. He could be a camp casualty because the Jets will actually save, I think, $9 million against the cap if they cut him. So this is, you know, Elijah Moore, a lot of people thought he would be a first round pick, and he was the second pick of the second round. So, you know, he definitely is going to have a role in this offense, I think.
I think the most intriguing pick for me is Michael Carter, because he has kind of the biggest range of outcomes. I remember one day I was having car problems, and I got stuck on a weekday driving up to listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio, and they were interviewing Michael Carter, talking a little bit about his skill set. And I absolutely think that he has a chance to be a big weapon for this Jets offense.
You just keep on spoiling for what's going to come on later. Come on, man.
we got to get the audience. We got to get our numbers up, man. These are rookie numbers.
Just watching the Jets here last year, they got to get Frank Gore out of the game. I understand they're trying to win football games.
I don't think
there was a lost season. They didn't, but it's going to be refreshing to see a nice running back in there. Nice rookie Michael Carter. P. Ryan's there. I think it's going to be solid. I think the Jets did improve at quarterback, though. Zach Wilson. We'll see. We'll see what Zach Wilson can do. I mean, I don't think Darnold had a fair shot. I've mentioned this before. I don't think Darnold really had a fair shot at it. He was in a real bad situation with the guys around him. His injuries, getting mono, hurting his shoulder. I think Sam Darnold actually has a nice shot to rebound his career in Carolina too.
I don't disagree on a side note, but I also don't think he was going to turn it around on the Jets.
No,
sometimes
I agree.
Getting a change of scenery is good for
him. It was time to move on for him.
Kerber, there's one that's close to your heart, a team that you said won in the 2021 draft. So let's round it up. This is our number three and final team that we are said had the biggest improvement for the 2021 season.
Yeah, I got the shirt on. You can kind of see it in here. I'm going to say the New York Giants, but specifically Daniel Jones. In free agency this year, they signed Kenny Golladay, the best X receiver out there, and they drafted Kadarius Toney out of Florida. There was definitely an effort to get Devonta Smith in this draft. Obviously, the Eagles traded up with the Cowboys. I mean, does everybody hate the Giants in the NFC East? I don't know. But getting Kadarius Toney at 20, an extra first-round pick next year, I think it's going to be a really solid move. Kadarius Toney out of Florida, he's got very similar stats to another first-round receiver the Giants drafted in Odell Beckham Jr., about the same height, weight, measurables, broad jump, very similar, 2-inch less vertical than Odell had. So Kadarius Toney's definitely very explosive. They have Evan Ingram, Sterling Shepard returning, Darius Slayton still there, but this is really all on Jones here. I think Jones could be a mid-QB2 option in drafts this summer. He only had 11 TDs last year, so if he doesn't do it this year, the Giants might regret trading out and not drafting Justin Fields themselves at that 11 spot.
I don't disagree at all, but
Giants, what they're doing, and I absolutely, for the Bears, go at least 8-9 now, thanks. I think what Giants are doing, they're getting the information this year. Giants will know by the end of 2021 if the quarterback of the future is Daniel Jones.
Absolutely.
They're paying for the information, and I like him. I know you like him, but hey, maybe he's not the guy. Maybe we're both wrong. We're going to know by the end of this year. I mean, even if you look down roster, there's still Dante Pettis waiting in the wings somewhere down there. So
not anymore.
There's a first set, a second set, a third set. We have strings of wide receivers that are going to get the job done in New York. So Giants are definitely going to be one of those teams that we can label as a draft winner. So now those were the teams that we think improved the most for fantasy, but there were players, some veterans, some rookies that we can say definitely won in the draft. So let's move on to that. Steve, you had a winner from the 2021 draft.
Yeah, my first winner is Tua Tagovailoa of the Miami Dolphins. You know, I think this year we were just talking about Daniel Jones. You know, there were doubts about Tua after the season because he had to keep on getting swapped in with Ryan Fitzpatrick. But I think that with what they did with this NFL draft, you know, and also with the offseason, you know, when they acquired Will Fuller in free agency and then drafting Jalen Waddle, you know, Waddle, you can put him all over the field. He can play the X, Y, or Z. His speed paired with Will Fuller, theoretically, it could wreak havoc on defenses. And the best part is for Tua is now he has an array of players with a variety of skill sets, because you still got Parker, you still got Gesicki, and so there's just going to be no excuses for him. And with that, with Miami's defense, you know, being nasty like it is, they you know, it's up to Tua now.
Absolutely not. And I don't think Tua had a terrible year last year. I know because the bar was set so high, and even really in seeing early play, maybe our excitement got the best of us. He threw for 1,814 yards. He, 11 touchdowns, 5 interceptions in 9 starts. That's really not bad numbers, especially since the defense is so good. They're not a team that needs to air the ball out every single day. Jalen Waddle was a big step forward for the Dolphins. And Rich, I know you want to add another Dolphins player here to the draft winners.
Yeah, I'm going to say Myles Gaskin. We just noted that they're going to be on the field more. Having better players on offense is going to keep your team on the field. Myles Gaskin, I think, has a great chance to be very relevant for fantasy this year. So last year he emerged from free agency, so he wasn't really drafted last year. And the NFL draft has come and gone. He's atop Miami's running back depth chart. The Dolphins only added Malcolm Brown to compete for the backup spot, so they're really committed here to Gaskin. I really liked Gaskin coming out of Washington a couple years ago. There were some injury concerns, so he slipped a little bit. But I do believe the Dolphins are ready to get after Myles Gaskin here in a more of a bell cow role. Brown and Salvin Ahmed, they'll be his backup. So if you want to handcuff, that's your thing. You can look to those guys. They added Notre Dame offensive tackle Liam Eichenberg in the second round. So they're committed to bolstering that offensive line. And I think by the time the summer rolls around, August, Gaskin's ADP can move up to the fourth round. I think he's going to be a fourth round guy. He's going to be a solid RB2 for many teams. I'm looking to get Gaskin at that price.
Yeah,
he absolutely. I agree, and one of the things I like is that they did not draft someone. That's why he's a draft winner, because they didn't draft a replacement.
Exactly.
There were a couple teams where we were looking, and spoiler alert, when you go to the loser section, we're going to have a big name that we have as a loser.
That everybody's talking about. Yeah.
But for sure, Myles Gaskin, a draft winner. Steve, you were going back to the Bears, going back to that well.
Yeah, I just have to say that, I mean, aside from Allen Robinson, I think Cole Kmet and Darnell Mooney of the Chicago Bears, I think they're the biggest winners here. I alluded to it in the last segment. The Bears, they're going from a boring offense to just being downright exciting with Justin Fields at the reins. Fields, he likes looking down the field, and he can throw it deep, which is going to really benefit Darnell Mooney's skill set, but it also benefits Cole Kmet, because Cole Kmet is actually pretty fast. And in the short game, that's also going to benefit, because he can create that separation in the middle of the field. And it's the common thing. Rookie QBs love their tight ends. I know Jimmy Graham is still there, but he's slow. And Jimmy Graham is only good between the 10 and the end zone. On the opponent's side of the field. In the red zone. He's only good between the 10 and the end zone. He's not, Cole Kmet is going to be the more valuable tight end in this offense.
So you're naming them as draft winners because they get a new quarterback and they didn't get replaced.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Another wide receiver that didn't have anyone else added to the mix. He's kind of the only guy on his team, and we like it that way for fantasy football. That's A.J. Brown.
Yeah, I love A.J. Brown this year. I think he's going to be a high second-round pick towards the end of the summer. I mean, if you can get him later than that, I think that would be very, very solid. A.J. Brown's fantasy value, it's really through the moon right now, and there's no one to challenge him for one of the largest target shares in the league. There's a lot of vacated targets with Corey Davis moving on to the Jets and Johnny Smith signing with the Patriots. They both left in free agency. The Titans GM, John Robinson, didn't draft a receiver until the fourth round. He took Dez Fitzpatrick out of Louisville. The only really move they made at wide receiver was signing Josh Reynolds from Los Angeles or the Rams. I think he's an intriguing dart throw also. His ADP is over 200 right now. But A.J. Brown is just going to be funneled with targets. We've seen Tannehill be competent. They're going to be on the field. They're going to be running the ball with Derrick Henry. A.J. Brown's fantasy value is going to be very high this year. And he's definitely a guy I'm looking to buy this summer in redraft leagues when I can.
And the thing about A.J. Brown is this is going to be his third year in the league. And so after this year, if he shows out, he could be one of those wide receivers that's going to be like, well, guess what? I am way outplaying my contract. You're going to have to pay me. So there's also that to consider.
One thing that I noted is that you said he was going to be like a late second round pick. I don't think he's going to be a late second round pick. I think by the end of the summer, right now he's going 212. I think by the end of the summer, he's going to be an early second round pick. I could see him moving up above DK Metcalf, maybe even above DeAndre Hopkins in redraft, because
so he's going as a wide receiver one right now. So
absolutely. Mm-hmm. Okay. For our final segment today, let's go to players who were draft losers, players who had a miserable draft day. And I will start James Robinson. Supposed to be the bell cow back, won so many 2020 leagues. He was a league winner last year. A player that I bought into in Dynasty in my startup just 2 weeks ago. Had a great season, 240 rushes, 1,070 yards, 7 touchdowns. Also added 49 grabs for 344 and 3 touchdowns. 4.5 yards per rush, 7 yards per reception. And he's only making $780,000 as an undrafted free agent on the Jaguars roster. Jaguars had some holes to fill. I didn't know running back was going to be one of them, and I don't think anyone else knew that running back was going to be one of them. James Robinson didn't have that draft capital. I get it, but he played serviceable enough for me. Travis Etienne comes, and I think they're going to bite into each other's value. I don't think James Robinson is a sell because you're not getting anything for him right now, and I think he will be usable, especially over the first half of the season. Etienne had 6,107 scrimmage yards over 4 years in Clemson with 788 touches, so he does have some tread on the tires there. 78 total touchdowns, including 26 touchdowns in 2018, 23 touchdowns in 2019. I don't think Etienne could have gone to a worse place. I don't think James Robinson could have had a worse situation on draft night. Their roles are certainly going to limit each other. I think Etienne's going to be the third down back, and James Robinson should still get those goal line carries, but I don't know. This offense is changing a whole lot next year. You know you have a quarterback who played with Travis Etienne in college. Not an ideal scenario for me.
I mean, I love James Robinson last year. I had him on a team. I finished second in that league. He really saved me after losing Saquon Barkley. And I was actually going to keep him for a late round pick this year. That's probably not going to happen for me this year. The value is just not going to be there. I do think he's still going to get some goal line work, but you don't really want a committee. We also need to see how their new head coach wants to. Is he a committee guy? Is he going to commit to someone? You got to see what head coach is Urban Meyer coming into this situation. So we got to see if he's going to commit to a guy or if he's going to have a running back by committee, which we never like for fantasy. I really was into James Robinson at 1,400 yards. I was fine with ETN going in the first round. I had him under 33.5 on one of the draft props. So I did enjoy seeing that. But I really feel for James Robinson. He came out. He did everything he could. And he was really a bell cow last year. Exactly. And now him and ETN, they're trending towards a committee here.
Yeah, and I had in our league of record, Bob's in my league of record. I was telling Bob that I was probably gonna have him as my keeper, and then they draft Travis Etienne.
Let's move on to another running back scenario, Steve.
Yeah, I am saying Sony Michel for Ramondre Stevenson. And the writing was kind of on the wall because the Patriots drafted Stevenson in the fourth round and he has the same skill sets as Sony Michel. And then the Patriots also declined Sony Michel's fifth year option. So, I mean, it all came down to Michel just never managed to stay healthy. Stevenson's, you know, I was looking at some of his tape and such. He is a battering ram. And he's going to be that back that he wants. It's similar to LeGarrette Blount when LeGarrette Blount had like that 18 touchdown season. I know that Damian Harris is still in this backfield, but I don't think his draft stock is going to be as affected as much because that's just a different, you know, Damian Harris is going to be the between the 20s and Stevenson's probably going to be that, you know, inside the five guy. So, you know, I'm out on Sony Michel, and if anybody, and you know, I think Damian Harris, I think he was what, a sixth or seventh round pick right now. I think his value may drop to the eighth or ninth round, which I think could actually be a good value for, especially for zero RB. But yeah, I'm saying Sony Michel is the big loser here.
Absolutely. That is a crowded backfield anyway with James White, Sony Michel, Damian Harris. Last year they had – who's that other guy that they had?
Rex Burkhead.
Rexington Burkhead, one of my guys who I can't quit. I always plug them at the end of drafts. Absolutely. Now, another draft loser, and this was a loser before the draft even started, There was some social media drama. Of course, talking about Aaron Rodgers. That might have been the story of the draft. Everyone was on their edge of their seats every time Green Bay made a pick. Rumors before the draft that Aaron Rodgers would not return. He's had bad relations with the team ever since they drafted his replacement instead of a weapon last year, and a player who may not even be his replacement. They just drafted a backup quarterback. Again, on draft day, they skipped on all wide receivers until the 85th overall pick, where they took Amari Rodgers. The next day, Aaron Rodgers praised Jay Kumerow. Kumerow gets cut immediately. It's like they're trying to make him mad. I don't know what's going on with Aaron Rodgers, and I know, Rich, you had a lot to say on the subject.
Yeah, I mean, I think the whole Packers offense takes a hit here. I mean, if Rodgers is there, obviously he's going to try to show out, but you never really want disgruntlement surrounding the draft. You're not happy with where you're going to be. I think Aaron Jones takes a hit. They really financially committed to Jones this year. He got a big contract, but literally everything else about the team after that, after Rodgers wants out, is not going very well. So I think he's almost certain to split carries. This talking Aaron Rodgers here, I think he's almost certain to split carries with A.J. Dillon. He really had touchdown upside and receiving upside, which made him the elite fantasy player that he was. And barring Jordan Love being what Rodgers is, I don't think that's going to happen again. So obviously we went from Brett Favre to Rodgers. Now Love is in the mix, but I don't think he's ready to be Aaron Rodgers yet. He hasn't even started. He hasn't even played in an NFL game yet. And another guy is Davante Adams. I think he's arguably the best receiver in football. He would take a massive step back if Rodgers isn't there. Again, Jordan Love is talented coming out of Utah State, but it's definitely a downgrade from Aaron Rodgers, who was had an MVP season last year. It really all comes down to Aaron Rodgers. If he's there, obviously these guys aren't going to take those great of hits, but I do think Aaron Jones won't be the fantasy player he is with A.J. Dillon involved somewhat in the offense as well.
I'm not so worried about A.J. Dillon. I don't know. I just have a feeling. But one of the things I know is going to happen for sure with this Packers team, and this is written in stone, you have Aaron Rodgers, Aaron Jones, Amari Rodgers, and Bob mixing up names during the entire NFL season during every time we talk about the Green Bay Packers. That we can set in stone there. Wow, we have a lot of losers. I'm just looking at the doc now and keep scrolling.
Yeah.
Steve, you're up.
Yeah, I am going to say Melvin Gordon was a loser because the Broncos traded up to get Javonte Williams. And, you know, the Broncos, second round, they pick up Williams, who I believe was the second best running back in the draft. I don't think the Jaguars should have taken Etienne for several reasons, but however, the thing is, Williams and Melvin Gordon, they're kind of the same type of player. Because I went back and I looked at tape of Javonte Williams and I was looking at tape of Melvin Gordon. Like, they have that same inline speed. They can both shed tackles. They can both catch the ball. I think Javonte might be the better ball catcher because he can actually I was looking at some of his routes in North Carolina State. He was running some crisp routes, you know. But anyway, It doesn't make sense because the Broncos paid for Melvin Gordon. They paid for him.
$8 million a year for Gordon.
And they basically drafted a Melvin Gordon clone.
Yeah, so other bad news that happened today, and this was just on the news earlier, Juwan James, the right tackle, because we're in prime Broncos form, he goes down in a private workout. He will miss the remainder of the season. I don't remember what it was. I don't think it was an Achilles, but he tore or something. Miss the entirety of the season. And there's actually drama around that already today because it was a private workout, not a team workout. So he may not even get paid for the 2021 season. So Broncos are at it again. What I do know, this defense is going to be better. And I think all the fantasy assets should be tempered just a little bit. This isn't a team that's going to need to score 100 points. Went out and grabbed Patrick Surtain, one of the best cornerbacks in the league during the draft. So going to be a lot going around the Broncos. And I know, Rich, you want to touch on it just a bit.
Yeah, so the Broncos didn't land a quarterback in this draft, which shows they're at least in on Drew Lock for another year or so. They did sign Gordon to a two-year $16 million contract last offseason. And the most concerning thing about this move to take Javonte Williams out of North Carolina is the fact that Denver traded up from number 40 to number 35 to draft him. I think he projects as a three-down back in the NFL. Gordon and Williams are likely to start the season in a timeshare. very similar to Philip Lindsay and Gordon a couple of years ago. It's going to be one of those very frustrating things for fantasy. I think Gordon's really an RB3, RB4. He's going to be he has very minimal upside. I have him in Dynasty. I'm an owner of him in Dynasty. I tried to move on from him. I think his ADP is going to plummet. Right now it's in the fifth round. I'm completely out on Melvin Gordon for fantasy. He's getting older now too. So if you have shares of Gordon, I would try to get rid of them. But it could be difficult now with the news of with the drafting of Javonte Williams out of North Carolina.
Absolutely. I have a question from Youngin Tai asking, I still want to know why teams passed up on Creed Humphrey. Creed Humphrey.
I'm still trying to figure that out too.
The center. Of course he landed in Kansas City because Kansas City gets whatever they want. It seems like every offensive lineman. How do they pay every offensive lineman in the league to go to KC?
I don't know, but I was really hoping the Steelers were going to draft Creed Humphrey. Creed Humphrey's in the second round, and they took a tight end. Now, granted, second best tight end in the draft, but they have Eric Ebron who played really well for them. But you know, the center we got in the third round, he's a pretty tough and physical guy. So I don't know. He went to a great place.
It seems like KC's offensive line is all made up of players that were drafted by other teams. Like, if you look at their starting lineup now, they have Orlando Brown from Baltimore, Thuney from New England, Austin Blythe from the Rams, Kyle Long from San Francisco, Mike Remmers from New York Giants. They just keep signing guys and bringing guys in the draft, so maybe it'll work for them. That was a great comment. We don't know. A lot of these things, I mean, I usually think offensive linemen go more often in the first round than we think with skilled position players, but we got all kinds of stuff going on. So thank you for
the knock on Humphrey, the knock on Creed Humphrey, just kind of looking at his draft profile here, he had very short arms for this is from NFL Prospects. His short arms for his size, so he allowed defenders to get into his frame. I don't really think that matters too much at center because a lot of times you're double teaming at center. You're getting help from one of the guards, especially in pass protection. So I don't really know why teams passed on Creed Humphrey. He's really got prototypical size for a center, 6'4", 302 pounds. Was very solid at Oklahoma last year. So I'm not really sure why Creed Humphrey slid, but he landed in a nice spot with the Chiefs pick 31 in the second round.
Absolutely. Steve, you got one more draft loser before we finish up for today, right?
Yeah, I'm going with LaMichael Perine for Michael Carter. Entering into draft day three, I had said on the Facebook discussion group, for those who are listening, go make sure that you join our Facebook group to join our discussions. We talked about a lot of the draft grades of day one, fantasy draft grades of day one. Carter was in a timeshare. And at North Carolina State, I thought P. Ryan's job was going to be safe. North Carolina. And
don't make that mistake again.
Ooh. Well, I had said on the Facebook discussion group that P. Ryan's job was safe for right now. But then, like 10 minutes later, the draft started, and then in the second pick of the fourth round, the Jets drafted Michael Carter, who is fast. And I went back and I looked at, you know, highlights of just Carter with his split with Javonte, and that was a ferocious two-headed back field in North Carolina. And I can really see with that speed, like I'm seeing him like break through tackles or people that had the angle on him to tackle him, and he just outspeeds them. Like I think that Carter could be a three down back in this league. What do you think, Kerber?
Yeah, I like Carter to be a three down back. I think it was a great selection by the Jets in the fourth round. P. Ryan out of Florida, he was okay. He wasn't like a high draft pick for them. I don't remember what round they got him in. I'm very high on Carter and Javonte Williams. They were a really good backfield for UNC. It gave Sam Howell a lot of chain moving potential. Keep that name in your mind for next year. Sam Howell is going to be a first-round draft pick in next year's NFL draft.
Absolutely. I do want to remind everyone, just kind of as a passing note as we round out our show, great tweet by Mike Tagliere. I don't know if you guys follow any of the stuff from Fantasy Pros. Mike Tagliere has been over there at Fantasy Pros making great content, and he had a little reminder about the draft, and I think this fits in right. This is how we're going to end the episode. It says, reminder, there have been 35 wide receivers drafted through the first four rounds of the NFL draft over the last 8 years. Not a single one of them has ever finished as a top 50 fantasy wide receiver in the rookie season. And that was directed at Amon-Ra St. Brown. So this is just another interesting tidbit we're going to throw out there before the end of the draft. Let us know below, who did we miss? I know we're just barely hitting the tip of the iceberg on unpacking the 2021 NFL draft and getting into those rosters for next season. But let us know where we missed the mark. Let us know what players we missed. And thank you for joining us here today at i80 Sports.